great to be back with you again. Father O'Hare and I are going to be together this summer, off and on to the middle of July. So you'll be seeing me on the weekends here throughout the summer until the middle, just a little bit past the 4th of July. This past year, we suffered a death in my community of a very beloved priest and colleague, Father Kevin Joyce. And for those of us who have been in priestly work, most of us for decades, the death of a priest is always something impactful, especially if he's a friend and a colleague. But what was very interesting to me in the experience of his death was not only literally the hundreds of people who came to the hospital to say goodbye to him before he died, but the reaction of my students in the seminary to his death. Sometimes I forget that my students are millennials and Gen Zers. And for many of them, this was the first time they had lost someone that they were close to. It was a new experience for them. For us crusty veterans, not new at all. And priests in particular celebrate funerals quite often. It's just part of our lives. It's part of our work. We see people die all the time. It was very interesting to observe the seminarians because it was, I think for many of them, it was the first time that our theology regarding the resurrection of the life came to bear. Really concretely in their lives. Now, in any parish, there's always a mix of persons of ages, but for those of us who are certainly over the age of 30, all of us surely have experienced the death of a loved one, maybe immediately to our family, perhaps a parent, a sibling. Many of us perhaps right now are experiencing the grief that accompanies the death of a loved one. It's just something we can't escape. And I always tell people, you know, funerals are such an important part of our lives as Catholics because they're not there to be the celebration of life of the person who died. A funeral is not a celebration of anyone's life except the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what the funeral is actually about. And the role of the deceased is their role in being subsumed into that primary mystery. And Catholics in particular ought to be very, very intentional about their understanding of what has happened at death. The body remains here, the soul goes before God for a particular judgment, and we face realities like heaven and hell and purgatory. Catholics should never be heard saying, well, we know grandma's in some better place. That is not what the Lord died for. Okay, and I can tell you, many of my friends come to Northern California in January and February because compared to Northern Virginia's weather, it is a much better place. But that is not who. That's not why Jesus died, so we could go to a better place. I'm sort of this vacuous. And so many people today in the culture, they don't know what to do with death. But Catholics have this immense benefit of actually having a very well laid out understanding. And I start with this idea of funerals because this is actually at the very heart, in a way, of today's gospel reading. Listen to what the Lord's words are. They're a little bit, if you're really paying attention to them, they can be a little bit of a shocker. He says, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come back again and take you to myself so that where I am, you also may be. Now, did you hear that? Did you listen carefully what he's saying? Death is a promise. It's a promise. In other words, look, I hope everyone here wants to go to heaven, right? But no one's in a hurry to go today. No one's itching. Oh, you know, this, you know, I mean, maybe there are a couple people among us who are really, you know, that wouldn't be bad. But you look around and you look at your family, you look at your friends, you look at the lives that you lead and you say, you know, I have a good life in general. I'm very blessed. Okay. But here's the thing. We always live in this life in this space of dynamic tension. Even St. Paul recognizes in his ministry, he says, I'd rather be with the Lord, but now I know I have to remain here on earth to accomplish the mission and my vocation and God's will in my life. I'm always struggling between wanting to go to be with the Lord and remaining here, he's writing to a Christian community, and to be with you. But in a very concrete way, we ought to think about death as Jesus' keeping of the promise. In other words, if we can't be with him in the Father's house unless we pass through the portal of death. Which means, of course, this is why our liturgy in the church, when we think about death, we recognize in a certain sense its finality, in the sense that this is the end of this life. But as Bishop Laverde, who ordained Father O'Hare and me, said, used to say very frequently at funerals, especially for funerals of priests, we don't say that our deceased loved ones, God willing, have gone away. We like to think of them as having gone ahead. So Catholics in particular should have this very wide lens view of life in general, that we are just passing through, and that life continues for us in a different modality. And I bring all of this up because we are inching ever closer to the feast day of the Ascension of our Lord, 40 days after the resurrection. Unfortunately, that's been moved to a Sunday, but it used to be Ascension Thursday, if any of you remember that. I wish we would go back to that. I don't get to make those decisions for the church, but the entire Christian trajectory is always upwards. And we don't talk about heaven enough. Like, that's actually where we were made for. And that this life, which as we say in the Hail Holy Queen, the Salve Regina, is a valley of tears. I mean, everything that we're doing now has consequences for whether or not we make it to heaven. So in addition to the celebration of life, or grandma goes to some better place, a third phenomenon that you'll see amongst even many Catholics, unfortunately, is this lack of confidence about what heaven is about. And as we inch closer to the Ascension, you know, this really compels us, like the apostles, at the scene of each of the accounts of the Ascension in the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles, their feet are firmly on the ground, but their gaze is upward. This reading, this promise that Jesus will come back to take us to himself again should remind us that this is not it, merely this life. We are so consumed with everything on this level, very rarely do we consider its consequences for heaven. And sometimes even worse, we can presume our salvation. And that is one of the most dangerous spiritual traps anyone can fall into. Even St. Paul himself said in his ministry, I have faith in Jesus Christ, but even now I am working out my salvation in fear and trembling. Because I know how weak I am. I know how fallible I am. I know how prone I am to go off the wayward path. And if it isn't but for the grace of God, then I am lost. So let me close with this last thought then, because it is really what ties the gospel together. I have to convince my students day after day in class that they study with us for 8 years, theology and philosophy, mostly theology. And I keep on trying to explain to them as much as I can, and I think they get it cognitively, but until something like a funeral or something that makes these things very real comes across their radar, it seems a little bit in the abstract. And I just want to close with this idea because it's straight from the gospel. Christianity in general, and Catholicism in particular, is not merely a philosophical, theological ethic or system of beliefs. Many times I think people think that that's all this is, or a set of rituals that we do. At its, all of those things are important because they actually point to the ultimate reality we're about. You notice what Jesus says here in the gospel today in terms of salvation and taking you to myself. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He does not say my teachings are the way, the truth, or the life, or my sacraments are the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I don't want to dismiss the sacraments, certainly, or theology, or the scriptures, or revelation, but those are all instrumental. What is going to save us is whether or not we have become attached to the Lord. Remember last Sunday's gospel, he says, not only am I the gatekeeper, I am the gate. I'm the only game in town. We don't live the way we live because, well, it's just one way of living one's life. You know, Buddhism's the same, Hinduism's the same, Judaism and Islam are the same. No, no. If that's true, the crucifixion wasn't necessary at all. And this is all a sham. And trust me, I did not sign up for a life of celibacy because this is one amongst equal religions. Sorry. Okay, that's the biggest ruse of all times. So we have to live with this conviction. I mean, the Gospels are constant invitation to this idea. It's not about the theology and the philosophy and the sacraments, although those are all important. They're merely means, instrumentals, to get us to actual encounter and engagement with the Lord. And that is, in fact, the difference between how Catholics die and others die. Because Catholics should die with the supreme confidence of being grafted onto the true vine who is the Lord. That you know him, not just up here or just here, both. That you have encountered him. And when I talk to people who've come into the Catholic Church at Easter, I am so edified year after year by their actual encounter of the Lord. They really know him well. In a way, they're better theologians than some of my students who know him many times very cognitively, intellectually, they get it. But have they actually really opened their hearts to encounter him? Because he cannot be the way, the truth, and the life for us until that moment happens. And this should be our prayer daily, that we encounter him in such a profound way. So as we consider our own deaths and the reality we will all face one day, I'll end where I began, funerals. Nothing forces us to consider our own mortality than seeing a casket in front of the altar. Because we all don't like to think about it, but we're all going to take our turn. It comes for us all. But that should not leave us sad or despairing or forlorn, but hopeful, because he who is the way, the truth, and the life goes ahead, has gone ahead, so that he may return and take us to himself, so that where he is, we may also be. May he be praised both now and forever. Amen.